Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I tell you what, here in a few minutes, I'm going to tweet out some photos so you can see my show location. You can see my remote broadcast studio here this morning. Third floor fan window location of the Montana Capitol. I'm overlooking the beautiful rotunda under the Capitol Dome right now. We've got some good highline style snow falling behind us as the front steps of the Capitol and the flags are behind me here at the fan window location. But yeah, we're here live this Friday because Monday is co-op day at the Capitol. And speaking of our co-ops, we've got Carson Sweeney with Fergus Electric Cooperative out of Central Montana with us right now. Carson, hey, how you doing? Great to have you as our very first guest for our co-op day at the Capitol preview show here.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. I just want to start with how impressed I am that you are at the Capitol, 6 a.m, getting busy, chatting with the legislators as they're starting the day. Thanks for being up there and representing us in Helena, sir.
Well, it's great. We got Ryan Hall here from, you know, the editor of the Rural Montana Magazine with Mecca here as well. He lined up an impressive lineup of guests, starting with you here. So, and it's fun. And then we just had Eric Albus, a newly elected lawmaker out of Hinsdale, Montana, just dropped in. So he'll pop in a few minutes here as well. Fergus Electric Cooperative, you cover some big country, obviously Central Montana, Lewistown, and then you push all the way down into Roundup and north of Billings.
Yeah, we got a great service territory here in Lewistown, filled with a bunch of hardworking members that they got buried with snow earlier this week here, and we got, you know, 20 inches of snow and drifts as high as vehicles. And fortunately for the co-op, after the 65-mile-an-hour winds sustained for a few days, we didn't have any outages, so we were certainly blessed in that sense. And yeah, we cover a real big area and a lot of members in Central Montana.
That's crazy. No outages, especially with those winds. I mean, even put the snowdrifts aside, those massive winds, that is crazy. Well, you've been seeing some not crazy growth, but good, steady, solid growth in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, the Lewistown is a growing area, and the governor helped bring in a business into Lewistown. It's just getting its business operations and buildings set up. It's Vacom, and we're looking forward to having them in town and building relationships with them. We are likely going to see some growth and some new houses being built and good paying jobs in Lewistown. So yeah, we're an area in Central Montana that is seeing a little bit of growth, and we'll take a little bit of it. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, hopefully not too much, but we'll take a little bit of it. Yeah, you know,
yeah,
it was funny.
Absolutely.
I had a friend who's getting ready to retire off active duty with the Army. We went to college and trained together, 20 years ago or so. And he's like, hey, I want to get back to Montana. I want to work. But, I'd rather be in more like Central and Eastern Montana. I'm like, man, I'm with you, brother. And I'm like, that's why there's this good economic news for Lewistown is good news for people just like that. All right, Carson Sweeney, hold that thought. We got to take a quick break, sneak in the news, the weather, and more. And we'll be back with you here shortly because there's some other interesting business growth news in your co-op country as well. Stand by.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some scattered snow showers around the area today, up to an inch or two possible, mainly in the Bozeman area. Temperatures falling in the teens in Bozeman, falling back through the 20s in the Billings area. For tonight, scattered light snow showers with some light accumulations. Low temperatures from 3 above in Bozeman to about 12 in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
Those responsible for securing America said thank you and farewell to their commander-in-chief Thursday, as President Biden was honored at a ceremony in Northern Virginia, where he was awarded the Distinguished Public Service Medal.
In the face of unparalleled national security challenges, American global leadership under President Biden left both the United States and the Department of Defense far stronger and far better postured for the challenges of the 21st century.
Both Joint Chiefs Chairman General C.Q. Brown and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin cited the president's efforts to increase America's security through his work with our allies. The president himself thanked the troops, telling them,
"We never bend down. We bend down to no one."
While also anticipating the military's role moving forward.
"If we don't lead the world, who will lead the world?"
Kidding you, that's Fox News.
Hey, I know we've got a lot of Montana Talks listeners that are joining us from the Capitol. Maybe you're a state legislator. Maybe you're a citizen who's there to lobby for good legislation. Maybe you just live in Helena and you want to come join us for Friday's Montana Talks. Either way, want you to come by, say hi, join us on the microphone if you want to as well. We are going to be live from the Montana Capitol this Friday, previewing Monday's Co-op Day at the Capitol event, Monday, January 20th. Details at MontanaTalks.com.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. But I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Friend.
All right, great to catch up with Carson Sweeney, the general manager with Fergus Electric Cooperative. Carson, hey, first off, you and I were talking off air about how great it is to see a lot of these lawmakers. They're early risers, especially, you know, you got a Highline kid like Eric Albus over here, Representative Albus out of Hinsdale, who will join us a little later. And then I told you around 6:30, Representative Clacken was going to join us. He's in your neck of the woods, but he's already here. So, you know, everybody's, you know, showing up early to put in the work up here. But you've been talking about, you know, we were talking about some of the growth for Fergus Electric Cooperative. You were saying there's a pumping station going in as well, right?
Yeah, for the last couple of years, we've been working with CHS. They're investing in their infrastructure in the Shawmut area east of Harleton, and we'll be working with them to build a little bit more transmission and a new substation for a pumping station that they have that out in our neck of the woods, and looking forward to that being built by, you know, local contractors here in the state of Montana, and get that up and running before the end of the year.
Are we seeing a little more oil exploration in that central part of Montana as well? I've been, you know, hearing some, you know, some chatter about more of that exploration being done in northeastern Montana once again.
Shoot, Aaron, I don't know about exploration, but I just know CHS is investing long-term into their plant there at Laurel, and this is one of those projects they need to complete before they do some additional upgrades in Laurel. They've been an excellent industry partner, great people behind the scenes there. And shoot, some of the senators and representatives in our legislature, they're representing CHS in the Laurel Billings area, and you know, Barry Usher, he represents us in the Lewistown area, so we got the same representation in the part of the state which covers 120 miles there. So
Barry is,
we're looking
great.
Forward to working with him.
Barry Usher is excellent, isn't he? Yeah.
Then, yep. I heard you had Shane Clacken in there this morning as well, and he's an excellent ranch guy from Central Montana. We're so happy to have him represent us. He'll do excellent. I'm not surprised at all. He's there at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, fellow Army veteran as well. In fact, he's already mic'd up. So you want to throw a question or a comment his way, and then we'll throw him on a little early here.
Well, Shane, as you know, this morning we're talking about Co-op Day at the Capitol on Monday, and looking forward to running into you. I sure appreciate you already at work, probably with a cup of coffee ready to go at 6 o'clock on a Friday morning. So good morning, sir.
Good morning, Carson. How you doing?
Yeah, thanks for representing us over there. And you got any bills or anything that you're working on that you want to talk about this morning or share with us?
Well, yeah, you know, we got a lot of things going on, especially for the agriculture community, Central Montana. We have House Bill 119, which is a cattle committee bill. We're working on some amendments, trying to get that to where we want it. And I've got feelers out to operators around Central Montana, want to win it, Lewistown area, Grass Range, and just want to see what they think about it. And, yeah. You know, I'm just really expecting people to get back and let me know where they stand on it, what they want me to do.
Aaron's got a strong lineup today. It's only up from here, Aaron. I've heard some of the people that you got coming on, so I appreciate you starting with me.
Hey, well, Carson, it's great to have you as always. Thanks so much for joining us. And, yeah, I wish I would see you guys on Monday, but, hey, I'll tell you what, folks, if you're not going to be at the Trump inauguration in D.C. on Monday, come here to Co-op Day at the Capitol. You get to see so many of the great folks from the co-ops all across Montana. Good, you know, rural Montana folks, small business owners, farmer, rancher, people that volunteer, not just for their co-op, but for their community. So, yeah, Carson, great to chat with you. Thanks so much for your time here this morning. Representative Clack, and then we'll get to Representative Eric Albus coming up after the Farm and Ranch Report here in a second as well. So this cattle bill, what are you looking at doing there?
Well, a bill has been put forward to form a cattle committee, an additional dollar for that from the people who pay the per capita fee to promote Montana beef only. They keep it in Montana. They advertise it since Elmy got a state. But, you know, operators and associations get together and decide if you want to do this. And if they do want to do it, then the committee is formed. And
kind of like the beef checkoff then, where, you know, beef, it's what's for dinner marketing campaign, but do something specifically to market Montana beef.
Specifically for Montana beef.
Especially as now... you know, I know the stock growers have been working to develop, you know, more of a consistent, steady local supply chain that could eventually, that feeds more local, you know, packers and suppliers and things like that, right?
Yeah. It's, you know, anywhere from direct to market to, you know, out of state, maybe even international promotion of Montana beef. Just an all-encompassing, you know, represent all the associations, as many as want to participate association-wise, but it actually is up to the actual producers.
So they would have a choice in it, whether they want to partake in that and pursue, or you would give the decision to the producers.
Well, actually, how this bill is currently structured is the people who pay the per capita every year will be sent a ballot, a referendum will be sent out to see if they even want to have this cattle committee. And if they do, they'll all be required to participate. If there's something happening to that dollar they don't like, they can actually request their dollar back.
Oh, interesting.
So it's in a way,
like an opt-out mechanism.
Opt-out.
Yeah, very interesting. All right. Yeah, and then let's see, about 30 seconds to go before we get to our next break here and our Farm and Ranch Report from Russell Lane and the whole crew. But what else are you focused on, you know, if you had to summarize it in a 30-second elevator pitch?
Well, I do got to admit, last week, the first week, the training wheels are on. You know, this is a very linear process. I'm a linear-thinking guy. As a pilot, you're checklist-driven. You know where you're going, but you got to go through the steps first. And come to find out, this process is very linear. You know where you start, you know where you're going, but there's things to do in between, and it goes in order. Making it work all together, you know, is sometimes a little challenging, but it's a fun process. It really keeps you up at night, I'll tell you that, because there's a lot of study on the bills. You don't want to go into a committee hearing or the floor without knowing what's going on.
And now you just got to worry about friendly fire or missiles coming at you from the other side or drones hitting a wing or who knows what, right? The craziness begins. All right, stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Most states have a dominant urban area. In Washington, Seattle, or King County. And just about everything about the economy there is hugely different from the rest of the state. Incomes, housing prices, and growth. Montana doesn't follow that mold. Our bigger cities are closer to being equal-sized. But the differences across the state, especially when it comes to growth, are no less dramatic. Unlike the children in Garrison Keillor's fictional Lake Wobegon, not all counties in our state can be above average when it comes to growth. But the speed at which some western and southwestern counties are diverging from the slower-growing Highline and eastern Montana counties is cause for concern. To take the most extreme example, over a five-year period since 2018, Gallatin County, which includes Bozeman, grew by more than 8% per year. On the other end of the spectrum, some of the more populous Highline and eastern counties have averaged negative growth. It's hard to strike a common theme and to have common interests when the gap in fortunes is so wide. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. How to cut federal spending and by how much consumes congressional Republicans right now. But a political firestorm is about to singe Capitol Hill. Expect staggering cost from the wildfires. Congress coughed up $100 billion just before Christmas to help victims recover from Hurricanes Helene and Milton. But Republicans now run Congress. President-elect Trump soon occupies the Oval Office. And when it comes to California and what may have sparked the fires, Republicans could be reluctant to assist. That's especially true as the mantra from Republicans is to slash $2 trillion in spending. In fact, there's fear among some Democrats that congressional Republicans and President-elect Trump may try to penalize California because it leans to the left. Republicans now run the House and Senate. Mr. Trump takes office next week. Quote, the idea that we're going to have an open checkbook no matter how bad your policies are is crazy, said Ohio Republican Congressman Warren Davidson on Fox Business. Democrats warned against partisan and regional discord when natural disasters strike. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, as we continue our coverage from the American Sheep Industry Association's annual convention here in Scottsdale, Arizona, it's sponsored by the American Lamb Board. And the best way to keep up on the Lamb Board and all of its checkoff funded programs is its weekly news delivered right to your email. To subscribe, visit lambboard.com. Well, at the end of this convention, Ben LaFelt of Montana will become the new ASI president for the next couple of years. And he says it's an opportunity to give back to the sheep industry.
Well, it's a huge responsibility, Russell, number one, but I really appreciate the opportunity to give back. So, you know, like you said, we've been in the sheep industry for over five generations. I looked up to my grandfather and my dad and my great-grandpa. All were in the sheep industry. You know, so it's really an opportunity for me to give back. And we've got some things we need to do in this industry, but we got a lot of opportunities. We talked about great solar grazing opportunities today. We've got some packed houses in our genetics forums. So we're looking how to expand upon that. We've got other things we're working on in terms of imports. We've got three or four different speeches over the next couple days to give us our members more information on that. One thing we do have, we got close to 500 people here. Just about, you know, 90 of those are first time attendees. So that's really exciting and something we hope we can bring more interest into the sheep industry.
And he also says the future of the U.S. sheep industry depends on producers having the best genetics available for their flocks.
Yeah, well, that's our way forward. Well, we got a next-gen presentation. We sent three young producers from across the U.S. to Australia, New Zealand this past year. I was able to join them. And you see some of the genetic advances they can make. So it's important that our producers understand that. And from what we see at this convention, you know, everybody's all in. So it's great.
Again, that was incoming ASI President Ben LaFelt from Montana. By the way, Ben will become Montana's first ASI president in the association's 160-year history. Stay with us for more Ag News right after this.
The American Lamb Board wants 2025 to be the best year yet for education. Lamb Checkoff funded programs include workshops and summits aimed at equipping sheep producers with the necessary tools and resources to profitably grow their operations. Like the American Lamb Summit, July 22nd through 25th, University of Idaho in Moscow. Event highlights include defining lamb quality and hitting carcass targets and increasing production efficiency. Learn more and register at lambboard.com.
Ranchers, it's time for the Current Creek Angus Sale. Monday, January 20th, 50 bulls, 25 bred heifers, and 25 heifer calves sell at the fairgrounds in Roundup, Montana. These are some of the very best Angus genetics the industry has to offer, with herd sires like WCF Payway, VAR Shearcold, CAR Yeti, and Woodhill Blueprint. Lunch at noon, sale time 1 o'clock. Catalog, videos, online bidding at frontierlivesale.com. Current Creek Angus, raising cattle bred to work in the real world.
Well, this week, the National Association of Wheat Growers elected Pat Clements of Kentucky as its president for the coming year during their 2025 annual conference this year held in Washington, D.C. Now, NOG's board of directors also elected its new board of officers, with Jamie Kress of Idaho elected as vice president, Nathan Kane out of Montana elected as treasurer, and Chris Tanner of Kansas as the new secretary. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, I just shot our producer, Caden, a note. Caden, let's skip that 6:30 Fox News update. You can just pop that one down. Because, yeah, we got a couple of great lawmakers here with us, and I know our time is very short and fast here in the early morning hours of this show. But Representative Clacken, again, great to see you. Anything else you want to tell our listeners across Montana? We were talking about your cattle bill. Anything else you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, yeah, I was saying earlier that this is a very linear process. You know, it's kind of like checklist-driven. You start here, you go there, and there's a lot of steps in between, but they're very, very linear. But what we need that mailed into that is, you know, why we come here to begin with, the philosophy, how you make all that work. And when I came here, got elected by House District 37, I informed everybody my philosophy on coming here is, you know, anything that increases the size of government, I'm skeptical of. You know, anything that intrudes on our individual liberties, I'm skeptical of. In fact, I say no right there. You know, anything that interferes with the free market, free enterprise, you know, we need to keep a good eye on that. And then, of course, timeless truths that, you know, things, you just aren't going to legislate gravity out of existence, as an example. But, you know, when you look at these bills and it looks like it's going to increase the size of government, unless there's a really compelling reason to increase the size of government, you know, add another department, agency, even an FTE, if it's compelling, you know, we probably need to consider it. But if it's just a power grab, then not so much.
Yeah, and then also, you know, another nice metric is, okay, are we growing beyond, you know, inflation and population growth, et cetera? And I think Montana in the past few years has done pretty good in that regard, whereas it got a little out of whack for a couple of administrations prior to the current one.
Well, some things that help us, obviously, is the fact that we have a balanced budget requirement. It's just really good. We need that at the national level to help us out there. But state-wise, you know, that helps us a lot. Another thing that helps us is we have the single item, single issue requirement in our bills. We can't stack things. It's really helpful. It helps with the idea that we can't grow government inside of a bill we couldn't otherwise pass on a straight-up vote. It keeps us from doing
that. That's why Washington's such a mess right now, because they keep piling everything into all these other things. So yeah. Sometimes that's the only way you can get things done, too. But then they don't have a balanced budget requirement. And so, yeah, now here we are, $36 trillion in debt as a country. But, yeah, Montana, we have a balanced budget requirement. Well, Representative Clacken, great to see you. Thanks for dropping in here in the early morning hours. I know people are hearing you in the Grass Range areas. They're probably getting a little bit of snow this morning as well, just like we're seeing here in Helena. We were joking earlier, hey, this is just like being home on the High Line. We've got Representative Eric Albus here out of Hinsdale, Montana. Good to see you in person. And, yeah, you called in a few times before you were elected. So good to see you.
Yes, I have. And thank you, Aaron, for so graciously getting him on every time that I've called. And
oh, that's just the bumper music. It's okay. Yeah, he's cueing it down. No worries. Yeah, let's.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it was great. Thanks for having me on. The times that you did, it really helped with the election, you know. And like we said this morning when I showed up here, it's just like being back home. The flags are standing straight out and snapping in the wind. So remind me of home.
Well, and the snow was blowing sideways. It's like we're kind of like the Forrest Gump movie, except for instead of rain, it's snow. It's like staying in your.
And I appreciate that. You know, we've run a very successful business for a number of years, and people sometimes don't look at what we do as a business, but it really is. And we donate and try to give back as much as we can to the communities, and it's been a lot of fun over the last 25 years. So
I remember when I was in Malta a couple of years ago, we had a lot of hunters who were fired up there who were saying, we're getting way too many out-of-state hunters here, and, you know, they're not following the rules, and they're not doing this. Well, that's the benefit of outfitters and guides, is that they'll keep these guys in line, and they'll show them, hey, here's how you got to respect the land and the people. And
yes, it is. And, you know, I've got a dozen ideas on how we can start to kind of limit the non-resident, because we are over in eastern Montana in Region 6 and 7, we are overrun with non-residents. And I'm looking at things we can do maybe to cut some non-resident licensing. We've done quite a bit already. We got the doe tags reduced and no mule deer does being killed on public land, which I think was a great first step. But it's kind of like trying to turn a, an aircraft carrier around in the Milk River. It just doesn't work very good. So.
Yeah, yeah. The Milk is not as wide as the Missouri, if you haven't spent any time on the Milk. Although, although you get closer to Malta, it's a lot wider than it is through Glasgow. But.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's a lot more river there. It appears to be much more of a river through Malta than it is down at Glasgow. So it's pretty narrow and slim down there below Vandalia Dam. So.
Yeah, yeah. I remember going to Vandalia Dam when I was a kid, and that was crazy. It's actually pretty steep out there, if I remember right.
Yeah, it is. And Vandalia is another structure. The dam is another structure. We've got to look at saving some money and building a fund so we can keep Vandalia Dam operable.
That's all part of that Milk, the St. Marie's irrigation system,
yes,
the lifeline of the High Line that we've talked about at the federal level, yeah.
Yes, it is, and we're going to struggle getting any more money for a project for the Milk River. Money is a tight commodity here in Helena.
So, yeah, I know that the governor ponied up some funds from the state for the St. Mary project overall to get that federal, fix moving forward. But it sounds like there may be some more work that needs to be done.
We're going to have to really rely on the fact that it feeds so many municipalities, the river does, for water for towns like... pretty much every one of them on the High Line. And you started right at my hometown of Hinsdale. We rely on the Milk River for water there, and you just keep going west. And all of those towns and villages, we rely on the Milk River water for municipality water.
Yep. You got the rail line on the High Line. You got the water line all across. Yeah. I mean, the two key things.
It is. It's two very key, huge.
And then Highway 2.
Highway 2 needs a little bit of work done. Highway 2 is getting in rough shape. It's I would love to find a way that we can put passing lanes all along Highway 2 from Williston clean to the border on the west.
I remember 20-plus years ago when I was in Iraq, they were talking about 4 for 2. But, yeah, even if you can't make it 4 on 2, well, at least add some more passing lanes and everything like that, just because, man, it's a long haul. If you've ever – I've driven all the way across Highway 2 from Culbertson and Bainville all the way over to the other side of Highway 2 in the Flathead. And, yeah, a lot to do. All right, let's see. I'm not hearing the bumper music, but that's all right. I got to take a very quick break here. I know we have some other lawmakers scheduled, but stand by just in case –
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, I got a great photo here that I need to tweet out. Let me just do that right now while we start yapping once again here. Great photo of us in front of the third floor fan window location at the Montana Capitol. Back to Representative Eric Albus here out of Hinsdale. What are some of the bills you're going to be working on? Or just, hey, what do you want to tell folks across Montana in general? And thanks for dropping in this morning.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Aaron. It's an honor to be here. And everybody on the High Line loves your radio program. It is a great voice from Montana.
Well, thank you very much.
We all really appreciate that. But I'd like, back to Highway 2 again, I would like to see passing lanes put in on the whole stretch of the highway from border to border. I think the traffic is getting bad. Like when I was a kid, we could go to Glasgow and we would actually count cars and semis. And that was our pastime because it seemed like it took forever at 55 mile an hour.
55 mile an hour was brutal.
It was brutal.
We had to drive from Glasgow. My dad was in Kalispell and my mom was in Glasgow. We had to drive that whole thing 55 miles an hour. And then, of course, it was the 80s, so, no AC.
No air conditioning. I remember it was air conditioning. As Kenny Newton used to say, it was 255. Two windows at 55 mile an hour, that was your air conditioning.
Kenny Newton, what an American classic. He was
one of a kind.
Man, I interviewed him at the on a Memorial Day show at the Fort Peck Summer Theater, and so glad I had that opportunity.
We really miss Kenny. He was an icon of Eastern Montana for
World War II veteran.
Yes.
POW, eventually lost his eyesight, but never lost his vision.
Lost his vision, is right. But yeah, I'd love to see passing lanes put in the length of Highway 2 because the traffic is getting bad enough now. We can't even hardly count the cars and trucks that we meet today on the highway. Back then, if you saw 2, 3 on a trip, it was from Hinsdale to Glasgow, there was a lot of traffic. Now, it's 60 to 80. Vehicles you see a day, which may not sound bad to the rest of Montana, but at Hinsdale, we think we're getting congested. So
yeah. Well, I was down in Texas one time, too, and I love the fact, you know, even if they don't have passing lanes or even if you're on a two-lane road, they have really wide shoulders. And what people would do, like, you know, in Montana, you know, sometimes you got to get close behind somebody because you're going to get your one chance to pass them. And so you got to get close. So when you got that chance to pass them, you hurry up, get around them and go and then drive on. But in Texas, what they'll do is if you're going faster than they are and you pull up on them, they'll just slide over onto the shoulder, let you go past, and you keep moving. And it's like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah, it would be awesome to have shoulders on the whole highway, too, because that reminds me of another thing. I did run a bicycle, Bill, momentarily, and then I saw how much I needed to learn about getting the thing done and done right. I would like to see the bicyclists on Highway 2 or any highway that the speed limit is over 55 have to either travel facing traffic or if they're riding with traffic, they're going to have a flag car a quarter mile behind them because hauling heavy loads, we haul a lot of heavy loads of equipment and hay up and down Highway 2, and not just me. There's hundreds of loads going. And I've popped over blind hills, and I thank the Lord above that there was nobody in the oncoming lane, or I'd have had to make a horrible decision as to whether it was going to be me take the ditch and kill myself, hit oncoming traffic, or take out three or four kids who don't understand and don't know anything, taking a whole lane of traffic up.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, some of those folks who ride bikes on some of these roads, and I'm like, man, my goodness. Like I remember back in the day, you know, going past towards Norris from Bozeman, and it's like, you know, along the river, and, you know, here you got everybody driving out to the river, and then people riding a bike, and it's like, holy man, that is...
Yeah,
I know it's a nice ride, but holy cow, you're putting your life in.
Yeah, they are. And the bad part, the worst part of it is the driver is liable and responsible. And how do you stop 110,000 pounds, 120,000 pound load of hay coming down a highway over a blind hill? And there's four kids riding, taking the whole lane up. You know, these are out-of-state kids that don't know anything, don't have a clue about life in eastern Montana, and it's so dangerous. And I've come so close. I've called 911 two or three times on these kids and had the police go talk to them and explain to them and just what danger they're in.
Well, Representative Alba, it's great to catch up with you. And we could talk Highline stories. Well, we got to catch up a little bit more down the road. This has been fun.
We could be here all day, but I appreciate it, Aaron. Thank you.
I know Kelly back at the Buzz in Glasgow is probably listening in right now, too. So maybe he'll
give a shout out to Kelly.
Maybe he'll give you a shout out in the Buzz here later today.
All right. Appreciate you.
Hey, great to see you. Next up, great to see our friend Representative Kerry Seekins-Crowe out of Billings. Kerry, you're already getting some stuff across the finish line. House Bill 121 getting a lot of attention.
Good morning, Aaron. Yes, House Bill 121 has passed the House.
So passed third reading yesterday.
Yes, sir.
All right. Nice. Because, yeah, yesterday morning we were talking about it, how all the Republicans held together. A lot of us were worried there might be one or two squishy Republicans. I thought, why couldn't the Democrats get one or two people to vote the right way? Boy, they just lockstep in line every time, don't they? Even on the craziest stuff.
It's pretty admirable about how much party loyalty there is, isn't it? I do believe that Republicans can see that it is important to protect women. And that doesn't mean that accommodations cannot be made and should not be made. There definitely are. And every coffee shop we walk into, I'm watching you drink coffee right now, now has two bathrooms, and they both have the male-female on there. And you go into the one that's empty, and you lock the door behind you. There are accommodations that can be made, and they don't have to be expensive. But the accommodations do not need to be at the peril of women.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just common sense and protecting women in the prisons. We had you on the show previewing that bill before it came up. What are some of the other things that you're working on? You know, here we are today. We're previewing co-op day at the Capitol coming up Monday. And big thanks to Ryan Hall from the Montana Electric Cooperatives and Gary Weens for lining up all these great guests for us here this morning. But so they're going to have a great event in the Capitol Rotunda coming up on Monday. You know, really, this is a great opportunity for us to open up the microphones for all of you lawmakers and say, hey, here's what I'm looking at. Here's what I want to hear from you, the people, and more.
Well, I believe that one of the most important pieces of legislation, besides protecting women that I'm going to be carrying this session, is one to stand up a reentry strategy throughout the state. And what that is for anybody who's just as involved, that we as a state come together and say, this is the water. You know the saying that you cannot lead a horse to water, or you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Well, I have found with people a lot of times you can't even lead that horse to the water. But what we are looking at doing is providing the water. providing a way so that we start connecting the dots within the reentry system for those who are just as involved, so that they understand where the services are, where training is, how the state through the Department of Labor, Department of Corrections, Department of Commerce, higher education, the governor's office even, how we connect these dots, because there's a lot of dots out there. But a lot of times, folks, when they get out of the prison system, they're working with an overworked probation officer who needs resources as well. And it's been exciting because these departments do want to work together. The entities out in the communities want to work together. We want to know where our resources are. So it's not just, you know, coming in the Department of Labor, here's your resume, may the odds be ever in your favor. But, you know, having that follow through with that person so that when things do happen, I mean, bad things happen to everybody. But a lot of times with justice involved, there's so much trauma involved, or the feeling that that there can't be second chances. And I think that if somebody is interested, you can't force somebody, but if somebody is interested, here are the resources. Where's the warm handoff with Department of Corrections into Department of Labor, making sure that DPHHS has those resources available and that we're connecting those dots. And I'm very passionate in this area, and I'm thankful that I've been working in this area for the last two sessions, and that this session I'm hoping to go forward with this.
Yeah, you talk about DPHHS. I know there's a lot of folks who are saying, God, we've got a lot of challenges, especially mm-hmm. with Child Protective Services. And you know, there were a lot of reforms that were put forward last session, but, you know, but that's a big nut to crack, of course. And So I'm sure people are going to continue looking at that, maybe break it into smaller chunks. I don't know. What do you see?
Well, we've got some really good people who are attacking that. But I also believe that Charlie over there, the head of DPHHS, is willing to do that as well. And I think that there is some hope there. That is not an area that I'm attacking, but I hope we do, because we do see some things, I think, that are unfortunate with folks who get justice involved because of DPHHS or because of Child Protective Services, I should say. But I do think that there are solutions, and I think that people are interested in solving those problems in our state right now.
We got about a minute before we take our next break, and then we'll play Jeff Lasloff's legislative update. We've been doing a legislative update from him every morning after our 6:50 break. But even before the session, you've been speaking at some incredible conferences kind of all over the place.
Yeah, I have been blessed to be invited. When you stand up for things that are kind of tough to stand up for that you never thought you would have to stand up for, like parents' rights and women, that gets the spark gets going right there for the fire to start flaming. And I've been in Madrid, Spain. I hopefully will be going to Nairobi in May. But
oh, wow.
This weekend,
I
I'm
love
going...
Nairobi. The traffic can be bad.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm going to the inauguration this weekend. Cannot wait. I'm going to head over there.
You're going to be at the inauguration?
I sure am.
Well, Jessica and I will see you there.
Oh, wonderful.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well,
there's going to be a million people there. So,
there'll be more people there than in our state. I can't wait to see you.
Yeah. If you're sticking around for Tuesday morning, I'm doing a show, just like we're here at the Montana Capitol now, I'll be live from Capitol Hill in D.C.
Oh, well, we'll have to connect. Thank you so much. It's an honor always to work with you, Aaron.
Thanks for all you do. Thanks for leading the fight on so many of these important issues with your work with House Bill 121 in particular. So,
thank you, Aaron.
Great to see you. All right, quick break. We'll get to the legislative update from Jeff Lasloff right after this.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
They were not particularly kind to Pam Bondi, but she absolutely destroyed Adam Schiff, and she just kept pointing out things like 72% of Americans have lost faith in the DOJ because of people like you, basically. What really came out and really was just in the forefront, and I love when she said the crime rate in his state of California is 87% above the national average, and then said, you know, he was the one that was censured by the Congress, not Pam Bondi, one of the biggest congenital liars, conspiracy theorist peddlers in the country. Or Blumenthal implying that Pam Bondi was lying. This is the guy that lied about Vietnam. That was Blumenthal that did this.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, ready for a home upgrade without the hassle? You want to give your home a fresh look in 2025 with new custom window treatments? Check in with our friends at Blinds.com, where real professional design experts make the complex very simple for you. If you have a complicated project, no worries, no problem. Blinds.com, they make it simple. Their designers can schedule a complimentary professional measure for you. You can shop from the comfort of your home. They'll even send samples to your door fast and free. You can choose from stylish Roman and woven wood shades. They have their shutters, their motorized options, which I love, and much more. And with Blinds.com, you don't wait around for an in-home consultation just to get a quote. Blinds.com has covered more than 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45% off on select styles, plus a complimentary professional measure, up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Check it out today. Okay. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some scattered snow showers around the area today, up to an inch or two possible, mainly in the Bozeman area. Temperatures falling in the teens in Bozeman, falling back through the 20s in the Billings area. For tonight, scattered light snow showers with some light accumulations. Low temperatures from 3 above in Bozeman to about 12 in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, I know we've got a lot of Montana Talks listeners that are joining us from the Capitol. Maybe you're a state legislator. Maybe you're a citizen who's there to lobby for good legislation. Maybe you just live in Helena and you want to come join us for Friday's Montana Talks. Either way, want you to come by, say hi, join us on the microphone if you want to as well. We are going to be live from the Montana Capitol this Friday, previewing Monday's Co-op Day at the Capitol event, Monday, January 20th. Details at MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
For a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laslotti.
As we close out the second week of the 2025 legislative session, we're happy to report that one of our top priority bills has cleared the House and is on its way to the Senate. Legislators and the governor are not playing games. This bill is on the fast track. I'm talking about House Bill 121, a bill to protect women and young girls by banning men who claim to be women from women's restrooms, locker rooms, and shower rooms. The bill was first heard in the House Judiciary Committee on January 7th. It passed out of the committee and was sent to the House floor on January 13th. 2 days later, it was debated and received its first House vote. Then yesterday, received its final House vote and was transmitted to the Senate. When all was said and done, the bill was introduced in the House, heard in committee, then received its final vote in the House, all in only 10 days. It's not a record, but it's definitely moving quickly. The second reading vote in the House was party line, with all Republicans voting yes and all Democrats voting no. The debate unfolded exactly as expected. The Democrat testimony was led by a biological male legislator who believes he's a female. It was filled with lots of emotion, not much fact, and was actually sad to watch. Testimony from the Republican side of the aisle was filled with facts, statistics, and real-life stories, like the high school girl from Montana who was told she would have to sleep in a hotel room with a biological male teammate if she wanted to travel with the team to a speech tournament. The final vote was 58-47 in favor of passage, and now we repeat the process in the Senate, hopefully with the same outcome. And speaking of the Senate, our government affairs team was in the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday morning testifying in favor of Senate Bill 42, a bill to reinstate partisan judicial elections in Montana. The bill, sponsored by Senator Tom McGillivray of Billings, would require all judicial candidates, including Supreme Court candidates, to declare a party affiliation. The testimony on this bill also unfolded as predicted. Proponent testimony was led by Lieutenant Governor Kristen Juris, a former University of Montana law school professor and former candidate for the Montana Supreme Court. She described Montana's current judicial election system as nonpartisan in name only and said that since both the Republican and Democrat parties continue to endorse judicial candidates, it's time to align the law with the reality on the ground. She said that her 2016 race for the Supreme Court against former Justice Dirk Sandifer was the most expensive at that time, with over $1.6 million being spent, mostly by outside interest groups like the trial lawyers. With respect to the partisan question, she said that the Democratic Party spent over $60,000 on mailers for Santa Fur. Montana Family Foundation Chief Legal Counsel Derek A. Stryker said, quote, Montana citizens consistently express frustration over the lack of available information about judicial candidates. They want to make informed decisions but are left in the dark. They don't even have the most basic details, like party affiliation. Providing this basic information is a step toward an informed electorate, end quote. According to the website Ballotpedia, 26 states currently appoint their judges, while 24 states hold judicial elections. Of those that elect their judges, 8 do so with a party affiliation, while the remaining 13, including Montana, are nonpartisan. If Montana switches to partisan elections, it would be 9 to 12, fairly evenly split. Montana's courts are dominated by left-leaning judges who continue to rule in favor of the woke policies aligned with New York and California. Montana is a conservative state, and it's high time that voters were given enough information so that the judiciary aligns with the will of the vast majority of voters. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, thanks to Jeff Laszlofy for that update. In fact, man, I should probably shoot Jeff a text. Hey, are you here at the Capitol this morning? Maybe I'll see him roaming the hallways here. We're going to be ponied up all morning long. Stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Most states have a dominant urban area in Washington, Seattle, or King County. And just about everything about the economy there is hugely different from the rest of the state. Incomes, housing prices, and growth. Montana doesn't follow that mold. Our bigger cities are closer to being equal size. But the differences across the state, especially when it comes to growth, are no less dramatic. Unlike the children in Garrison Keillor's fictional Lake Wobegon, not all counties in our state can be above average when it comes to growth. But the speed at which some western and southwestern counties are diverging from the slower-growing Highline and eastern Montana counties is cause for concern. To take the most extreme example, over a 5-year period since 2018, Gallatin County, which includes Bozeman, grew by more than 8% per year. On the other end of the spectrum, some of the more populous Highline and eastern counties have averaged negative growth. It's hard to strike a common theme and to have common interests when the gap in fortunes is so wide. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.